everyone knows that the mitzvah of reading Megillah, even though it's a mitzvah of Divrei Sofrim, he says that it was a takana of Nevi'im. V'kol chayavim b'kriyasa anoshim v'noshim v'geirim v'avadim shukrarim, all Jews, even those who may have other exemptions, for mitzvah says Bangrama and so forth, are chayav in the mitzvah of Megillah, mechanchem esakatan l'krosa. And of course there's a mitzvah of chinuch, to bring the children, to read the Megillah as well. I have to understand why the Ram has to single that out by this mitzvah. Even the Kohanim, they interrupt the work that they're doing in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah, and they come to hear the Megillah. And we also interrupt Talmud Torah, the regular Shir and the Seder, to learn Torah. And if we interrupt the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, certainly we interrupt the performance of other mitzvos. All mitzvos are put on hold in order to perform the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. So the Acharonim note this line, and they observe that's an interesting Kal V'chomer. What does the Rambam say? We interrupt Talmud Torah in order to read the Megillah, and Kal V'chomer, other mitzvos we interrupt also in order to perform the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. What's strange? What's strange is reading the Megillah is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What do you mean we interrupt the performance of mitzvah such as Talmud Torah if by reading the Megillah to one of the 24 Sforim of Tanakh, right, Sammy? So we'd assume I could learn Malachim, I could learn Yeshaya, I could learn Vayikra, I could learn Esther. It's all Talmud Torah, right? So what do you mean that there's a special halacha that we're mevatel Talmud Torah in order to read the Megillah? That's one question. Another question, just an interesting, I guess, diktuk point. If you look at the very opening Mishnah in the Masechta, right? How does the Mishnah begin? You know it because whatever daf in the first parak you're in, the opening words of the Masechta are at the top. Megillah Nikris, right? Megillah Nikris. Everyone knows the first mission. Megillah talks about the different days on which a person reads the Megillah if they don't necessarily live in town, or if they do, they live in a walled city. It could be a whole week, almost a whole range of days that the Megillah is read, even days that are not strictly Purim or Shushan Purim. Notice it says Megillah Nikris. How would you translate the words Megillah Nikris?
Megillah is red,
right? How else could the Mishnah have been stated?
You read Megillah.
Oh, right. Korin as a Megillah. Where else in Shas? There's a few examples. Tosfos always at the beginning of a Masechta notes when the Tanaim decided to phrase it in one way or the other. Sometimes it changes and goes back and forth. And the Turi Evan asked that question over here. Where else do we have a very familiar Mishnah? Similar diktuk. Isha Niknes, B'shtol Shadrach, right? Kesef Sharon Bia. That's the first Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin. What's the second? The Mishnah at the beginning of the second Perek of Kedushin? The second Perek opens up with Ha'ish Makadish, right? Ha'ish Makadish, the man actively Makadish the woman, and the first Mishnah is Ha'isha Niknes, how she is acquired. So here, we need to understand why did the Tana of the Mishnah at the beginning of Megillah phrase it as a Megillah Nikris. So we'll try to provide a little insight into that point. Let's start with the Mishnah that you saw. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second Perek of Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, I believe. And even in those first few words, the first part of the Mishnah, okay, so the Mishnah says as follows. Mishnah says, Akurias HaMegillah, right? Here also we're switching that the verb form from the passive to the active. Akurias HaMegillah LaMafrei Lo Yotza. If you read the Megillah LaMafrei, what does the Mafrei mean? Literally, we usually use it in its literal form, retroactively. Right, so what does it mean over here? out of order. Okay, so if I decide to get up there and read the Megillah, let's say the second parak, and then the third parak, and then go back to the first parak, something like that. So the Mishnah says right off the bat, you are not Yotze. That's Korei as a Megillah Mafreya. Okay, next in, that's a little Yotze. Korei Alpeh, if I read it Balpeh, I know the Megillah by heart. Korei Targum, B'chol Lashem, Lo Yotze. If I read it in a different language, if I read it specifically, Targum, what's Targum? Targum is Aramaic. Okay? I'm not Yotze. I'm not Yotze. There are exceptions, which goes on to discuss. What if I'm reading it in a different language, but the people in the shul do understand it? So that's a different story. And if people don't understand Hebrew, but I read it from the standard text of the Megillah, then they're Yotze anyway. Okay, but let's focus on the line. Kara Alpeh, if you read it by heart, you're not Yotze. In addition, if I read it in the Targum, again, I'm reading it from the text, but the text is not the original text of the Megillah. It's the Targum. So I'm also not Yotze. That is understood to be tantamount to reading Baal Peh, right? Because the text that I'm reading is not an authorized text, so to speak, right? The Tanakh is Torah Shebichsav in a certain surah, how it's supposed to be recorded. If you have an R scroll Chumash with the translations, that's not Tanakh. That's not one of the Chavdal Tzfarim. It's a translation. So to read it from that text, it's almost like Torah Shebaal Peh, right? It's the translation, it's the interpretation of the words. So it's as if I'm reading it Baal Peh because that's not an authorized text of Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, but the Mishnah says if you read it by heart, you're not Yotze. Fast forward to Yud Ches Amud Beis. I'm sorry, Amud Aleph. And here the Gemara gives the rationale as to why it is if I read it Baal Peh, I'm not Yotze. Sharing it with you, the Gemara says like this. Koral Pelo Yotza, you have it there in the middle. Minalon, what's the source? Amarava, Asya Zachira Zachira. We have a Gzeir Shava. The term Zachira is used in two different places. Ksiv Halchat says in one place, Vayyamim Ha'ela Niskarim. The days, it says in Megillas Esther, the days of Purim are Niskarim. They are remembered, they are commemorated. Ksiv Hasam, it also says in the Torah, after the Muhammad Amalek, Ksov Zozikarim B'Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Yeshua to record the story of the Molchama with Amalek, so Zozikarim B'Sefer, write down a memory of the story of Amalek inside, on paper, in a book, on a scroll. Malalon B'Sefer, Avkan B'Sefer. Just like in Sefer Shemos and Mashalach, talking about on paper, you have to write it, you have to record it, you have to have it as Ksav. So too, the other terms, Chira, Hayom Me'elon Niskarim, that we find in the Megillah, refers to Niskarim from a Sefer. Okay? So just like in Chumash it has to be from a Sefer, you have to read the Megillah from a Sefer as well on Purim. When we might die, Zechira Kriyahi. How do you know when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ksov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, record this memory, that it means to read from it? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is just saying, have a text, so if we ever need to look back and study that text, we'll know the history. How do you know that the writing of the story of Amalek described in Parshas Bishalach is referring to Kriya? Dilma Ian Ba'alma. Maybe it's talking about Ian, just to examine it, to learn it. Lo, Saka Daitach. That's not what you should think is the meaning of the Pasuk. Zachor Yachob Alev. Chazal Darshan, when it says to remember, where's this Pasuk coming from? This is the Pasuk we're going to read in the Parshas Kisetze, this Shabbos. So the word Zachar in that Pasuk, Yachob Alev, I might have thought means remember it in your heart. Just needs a conscious mental acknowledgement of the story of Amalek. Kishuomer lo sishkach, when it says at the end of Parsha Zachar, don't forget it. Harishachas Alev Amar. Torah says don't forget it. So we already know not to forget it. We already know it has to be in your heart. So what is the additional reference of Zachar? Amar Hamani Mekayim Zachor Bepeh. Must be it's coming to increase, to add another dimension of memory. I know I can't forget it from my heart, the mental awareness and cognizance, so therefore the word Zachor adds a verbalization. I need to read it from the Sefer Torah. Hence we see that the term Zachir means Zachir Bepeh. That, by the way, surely the Gemara elsewhere tells us, one second, surely, when we say Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, right? Zachir means Bepeh. I need to recite Kaddish. I do so. It's a verbal acknowledgement of the Shabbos. So too over here, when the pasuk says you read the Megillah, it means reading it from a klaf, from the sefer, just like it means in Shemos. And that's the source of our mission that says that if you read it by heart, you are not Yosef. Yes, Shirley, what's your question?
I feel like it's still a pretty big jump from Baal Peh, or sorry, Baal Peh, to make it has to be written. Because can you also make it, like, there, I think there are other manifestations that don't fall into the category of thinking. For instance, Pesach is having, like, a Seder, and talking about it is Baal Peh, but there, you know, I think there's nothing to literally read from the second Haggadah, but I'm not sure that's, like, we consider that the same standard as with the Megillah.
You're 100% correct, Sully. I think that's what the Gemara is saying. If you go back one line, we're putting together two different elements, two different drushos. One is the fact that Zohar is not just belave, it's something more active. Okay? In addition to that, you also have a pasuk that says, Ksozos Zikaron Besefer. Zikaron Besefer. A memory from or with a written record. The Gemara says, if you put Zikaron together with Sefer, with the knowledge that Zikaron means verbalization, so verbalization from a Sefer, 1 plus 1 equals 2 means Kriya from the Sefer Torah. Okay? So you're right. And the Raya is, if you wanted to say Kiddush by heart, Zachar Zom Shabbos Akacho, you could say Kiddush by heart, right? Once you have Zikaron but Sefer, then it's another type of Zikir, needs the Sefer. Okay. We'll say Bam Kasha. Okay, Bam Kasha. We should already ask this question. Why do you need a Gzeira Shav over here to teach you that I may not read Megillas Esther Baal Peh? Yeah, everybody, that's what we just derived. The Mishnah, the second paragraph of Megillah, teaches you that you cannot be Yotzei the Mikra Megillah if you read a Baal Peh. What other halacha should have made it self-explanatory that I cannot say the Megillah by heart without this Gzeira Shava, Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph? Where else in halacha is there something that governs communication of textual sources in the Torah? So we know before Eis Lasos Lashem, before times were desperate, the oral tradition of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, right, had to be communicated Baal Peh from generation to generation. And it was usher to write things down before that time came, whether it was Rav Yudan Nasi, whether it was Rav Yudan Ravashi, until the Gemara and the Mishnayos were formalized, it was usher to write down anything Baal Peh. In addition to that, the other side of the coin was that Torah Shebichsav is prohibited to be recited Baal Peh. It's a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says explicitly, I think I gave that to you from the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Amud Beis. You have it there now in the PDF? You see it? Okay, right in the middle. The pasuk says, Ki al ksov lecha es ha-dvarim ha'ila. Ksov lecha es ha-dvarim ha'ila. Hashem says to Moshe, write down these words. What is that teaching you? A little bit later, the Rabbi Shmuel Altana, Eile atakose v'yatakose v'halachos. These you write down, Torah Shabbos you write down. Torah Shabbos you don't write down. Okay, A. And B, the second halacha that we just said, is that on the one hand it says, Ksov l'chasa dvarma eila, write down these words. And it also says, Ki al pi advarma eila, al pi means not written down. Ha-ketzad, Torah gives two different prescriptions. Dvarim Shabbos b'chsav, i'ata rashay l'omer na'peh. Dvarim Shabbos peh, i'ata rashay l'omer b'chsav. Torah Shabbos peh cannot be textual. It has to be oral tradition. But Torah Shebichsav is also limited that it cannot be recited Baal Peh. Okay? You cannot recite Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. Before Shigemara, are there exceptions? Yes, not talking about it right now. However, this Gemara seems to fly in the face of the Gemara in Megillah. Why do you need to tell me that the basis for the Mishnah Megillah, that you're not Yotzei if you read the Megillah Baal Peh, is because of Ksov Zosikaron B'Sefer? I have a better reason for you. You're not allowed in the first place to recite the Megillah Baal Peh anyway. It's a prohibited Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaMegillah. Because Dvarim Shebichsav, such as the Megillah Esther, one of the 24 Svarim of Tanakh, may not be done Baal Peh. You hear the Kasha? Okay? Who asked this question? So the Rishonim talk about this question. The Sefer Yoreim deals with this question. The Sefer Yoreim says that this Gemara this Gemara is problematic in light of that Gemara in Gittin. And he offers a suggestion, which has practical nafkaminas. He says, you know, when there's a prohibition to recite Torah Shabbat Sabbath, I don't understand, what, this morning, raise your hand if you said Shema looking inside in the sitter, or you said it Baal Peh. Don't need to be embarrassed. Just tell me what you did. Which one? Raise your hand if you said it by heart. Okay?
I mean,
So 75% of the shiur followed the halacha, and the other 25% violated the halacha and recited the Shema Baal Peh. Give out! 1, 2, 3.
Yay!
The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to say Shema Baal Peh. Every single one of us has probably been reciting Shema since we're in kindergarten Baal Peh, right? What's the pshat? What's the pshat? So one explanation the Rishonim give, and another application would be Brachas Kohanim. Yeah, Kohanim will bless Ba'ava, Aaron. Yeah, when the Kohanim go up and they say Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem Ponav Ne'elach V'ilchunecha, Yiz Hashem Ponav, right? You say it by heart. What am I doing? I'm saying Pesukim right now by heart. So some Rishonim answer the violation of this din, reciting Torah Shebachsav Baal Peh, is only when you're being motzi someone else. When I am saying something, someone else has to be yotzi with my words. But if I'm doing it for myself, I'm saying Shema because I need to do the mitzvah Shema. Then it's okay to do it even on my own, even Baal Peh. What would be a common nafkamina? One nafkamina could be Kiddush. If you're the husband, you come home and you are being motzi the people in your house who are not in shul, and they didn't say Vayechul Hashemai V'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. You said in shul already twice. You said in Shemon Esrei, you said after Shemon Esrei. They did not say the Eidos of Briyas HaOlam from the text of Parshas Bereishis. In that context, if I'm being motzi others from my Ka'ona, so some say you need to read it from a sitter. Some say it's not necessary, but that's one answer. That's what the Reim says. The Reim says that to be motzi other people, I can do it. I only can do it from the Sab. But Baal Peh, what about Baal Peh? Usher, if I'm being motzi other people. So maybe the Gemara was just saying that even if you're reading Megillah for yourself, to be motzi only yourself, kamash v'lan, you can't do that Baal Peh either. You can't do the Baal Peh either. But normally it would be okay to do Baal Peh. Yes, Aaron, what's your question?
They say for Berachas Kohanim, the Chazan says the word before the Kohanim.
Right. But he's not being motzi them. He's prompting them. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's prompting them.
Right. So that would not be a violation of what we're talking about. Okay? So is that what everyone agrees to? Not everyone agrees. There are some Rishonim who say it's usher even for yourself. If I'm reciting Pesukim, if I'm learning Torah on my own, I'm not allowed to say Pesukim, Torah Shebachsav, by heart. There's a Gemara in the Tosfos Bava Kamma will point this out. Tosfos Bava Kamma zeroes in on a phrase we see throughout Shas, Rav Yosef. Metargim Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is always the one who pipes up when we're looking for the unklus, for the targum of Pesukim. So some say it's because Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef was blind, so he could not learn Torah Shebachsav because he couldn't read it from the text. So he had to learn Targum all the time because Targum is Torah Shabbat Peh, and then he could do it by heart. That's one suggestion in Tosfos. Some say that that's a pshat. So again, he wasn't being motzi anyone, he was just learning on his own. And nevertheless, he was makbid not to say Pesukim, he would only say Targum, only say Torah Shabbat Peh on his own. Okay? But in the end of the day, if that's the case, Nachamo, what is the need in the Gemara and Megillah to prohibit or to tell me that I'm not Yotze? Megillah Baal Peh, it should be self-understood. I'm not supposed to be reciting the Megillah Baal Peh in the first place. I have to read it from a Megillah. Because that's always the din of Torah Shebachsav. That's a question. So my Rebbe Rabbi Ganak offers the following explanation in one of his Sfarim. But we need to backtrack a little bit and introduce a different yisod. Okay, let's look at the Rambam I shared with you before in the WhatsApp group. The Rambam is in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches. I'm sorry, Halacha Tes. You should have it there towards the middle of the page. In Kosvan HaMegillah, El Bedio, El Agvil, O Al Klap, Kasevah Torah. The Rambam starts by telling you how you write a Megillah. How do you write a Megillah? You write it like Sefer Torah. You need the special ink, right? Dio is a special blank ink that's used for Stam, for Sefer Torah, Mizuzas, and Tefillin. Al Hagvil, Gvil is the parchment. I'm sorry, the Klap is the parchment. And Gvil is another surface that you can write Sefer Torah from. It's not exactly the same parchment that we use. But there's a certain format, certain materials that are necessary. And they're the same materials that are used for Sefer Torah. The Rambam does add that Tzuricha Sirtut Ketorah Atzma. It needs Sirtut. Anyone know what Sirtut is?
The carved lines on top of the words.
Correct. When you go and you watch the completing of Sefer Torah, you can see it. You can see it if you get an Aliyah. If you look carefully behind the ink, etched into the actual klaf is a slight indentation, like with a razor, very sharp point. Lines, almost invisible lines. They're not filled in, obviously. They're just carved into the klaf, and the sofer writes following those lines. And that's how you get the nice, neat columns in the Sefer Torah. It's not always necessary, but the Sefer Torah needs a klaf, needs sirtut, needs those lines. So, Dr. Rambam, that a Megillah tzricha sirtut ketora atzma. A Megillah also needs to be written with sirtut just like a Torah itself. But then he goes on to say, ein ha'or shela tzarech la'abed l'shma. The skin that's used for the parchment does not need to be prepared l'shma. When you make a Sefer Torah, so there are many different pieces of it. And the klaf needs to be prepared, needs to be treated with certain chemicals before it's ready to write on. L'shma. When you put it into the chemicals, you have to say, I'm doing this L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Just like anyone who's ever painted their tefillin with like a tefillin paint, right? So you say L'shem Kedusha tefillin before you paint it. So that's L'shma. Sefer Torah, the cloth has to be processed L'shma. So Dr. Rambam, even though I already told you that there's so many things about the Megillah that has to parallel the creation of a Sefer Torah, the klaf of the Megillah doesn't have to be prepared l'shma. And all the Rishonim ask, what's the pshat? Why is the Rambam suddenly changing his tune, as it were, and giving us this exception that when it comes to other dinim of the Megillah, it has to follow the pattern of the Sefer Torah, but when it comes to one particular detail about how the klaf is produced, it doesn't have to follow Sefer Torah. How do you have it both ways? And other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, if it's like Sefer Torah, it's got to be exactly like Sefer Torah. So why would we suddenly have a difference when it comes to the prat about Ibur? What's the difference? You hear the question? Everyone hear the question? If it has to be like a Sefer Torah, why does it not always have to be like Sefer Torah? So we have four questions so far. One question is, why do we say Megillah Nikrais in the passive form? Question number two is, why do we say that you interrupt Torah, Talmud Torah, in order to do the Megillah, if Megillah is also Torah, right? We're just shifting. Number three is, why do we need a special Isser to read the Megillah Baal Peh? Isn't that included in the general Isser Tosh B'Saf? And finally, now we're asking, is a Megillah like Sefer Torah exactly, or are there differences? And why should there be any differences? If sometimes it has to be like Sefer Torah, it should always have to be like Sefer Torah. Oh. So this is the answer that the Brisker Rav gives. The Brisker Rav says, we're not going to be able to go through all the riots, but the Brisker Rav says there's two dinim in a Megillah. We've been oversimplifying the nature of the mitzvah and the creation of the chefza known as Megillas Esther that we use to read the Megillah and to perform the mitzvah on Purim. What does that mean that there's two dinim? It means that the identity of a Megillah is simultaneously one thing and the other as well. A Megillah is one of the 24 Svarim of Tanakh. It's like a Yeshaya and a Malachim and a Shoftim and a Mishlei and a Tehillim and a Sefer Devarim. It's one of the 24 Svarim of Tanakh. And for that reason, it needs to parallel and follow suit with all the other halachos that are normally relevant to Torah Shabbat. However, the Megillah also serves as the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah on Purim, right? Every holiday has a Chafetz Shal Mitzvah. Maybe not Shavuos, but Sukkot has a Lulav and Esrog, and Rosh Hashanah has a Shofar. What's the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah of Purim? It's the Megillah. That is the item that's necessary to be used when I'm performing the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah at night and during the day on Purim. So we have two different modes in which the Megillah can exist. On Purim, we know it, we're most familiar with it as the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah for reading the Megillah. In addition, the other 353 days of the year, or 52, or a little bit less if you count all the days that you can read the Megillah may not be the chefta that's used to perform the mitzvah, but it remains one of the chafdal tzvarim of Tanakh. Because it has these two different entities, in different areas, there may be different halachos to the Megillah. When the Megillah functions as one of the chafdal tzvarim of Tanakh, it has to be exactly like a Sefer Torah, like any other Sefer in Tanakh. But where was the Rambam speaking to us just a moment ago? When we saw in the Rambam that Megillah is like a Sefer Torah, but not entirely like a Sefer Torah. Where was that? That was not in the halachos of writing a Tanakh. That was found in the halachos Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah, where the Rambam is discussing how you create, how you form the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah that is used to read the Megillah to perform the mitzvah on Purim. In the dinim of Purim, the mitzvah of Megillah, of Kriyas HaMegillah, does not necessarily have all the same halachos that govern the Svarim of Tanakh. And therefore, yes, there's room to say, explains the Beskrov, it may be similar to the Sefer Torah, it may require Sirtut, but it doesn't necessarily have to have everything like a Sefer Torah, doesn't have to have Ibur L'Shma, the cloth doesn't have to be processed with the same intent that you're going to use it for the mitzvah of writing the Sefer, because for the mitzvah of Megillah, it's not exactly the same. In fact, the Gemara tells us that, does anyone know how the Megillah refers to itself? Who wrote the Megillah? Let's do it like that. Who wrote the Megillah?
Mordechai.
Not exactly.
Oh, sorry, I'm lied to.
Esther and Mordechai.
Okay. Let's make sure we include Esther as well. The Gemara says that Esther wanted to inform the entire kingdom about what had happened in Shushan and the events leading up to Purim, on Purim itself, the miracles, and she composed this text that was sent to all 127 Medinos, and it was read by all the people in Klal Yisrael. How does the Torah refer to that? I'm sorry, how does the Megillah refer to the text? Or, that's why I'm phrasing it the way I did, how does the Megillah refer to itself? How does it...
Haigaret hazod and et kol tokef.
Oh, okay. So the Megillah, besides being referred to as a sefer, which it also refers to itself as a sefer, it also refers to itself as an igeres. It's a letter, because it was a letter. Now, do we write Sefer Torah and send them around to the whole world? No. A letter you do send to everybody. So the Megillah was formulated not only as a portion of Tanakh, which was at a later point it was canonized, which is the fancy English word for meaning that it was incorporated, for saying that it was incorporated into the body of Tanakh, but it originally had a status of an igeres. And halacha tells us that in the end of the day, for us, the Megillah has a little bit of each. It parallels the Sefer Torah, but it also parallels an igeres, and therefore when you're reading Megillah, there may be kulas that exist that don't exist for other parts of Torah. Kriyas HaTorah, both sides. If a Sefer Torah is missing one letter, is it kosher?
One, two, three.
Dane.
Okay. I assume everyone knows the truth. Okay? Thank you, Alex, for trying. Rabosai, if you miss one letter from a Sefer Torah, it's a puzzle. If you miss one letter from a Megillah, it's a puzzle.
No.
Name. Okay? Not only that, what if you're missing two letters? Three letters, four letters. 49% of the Megillah could be missing, and it potentially would still be kosher. Unbelievable. So the reason for that is because it has this different character as the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah for Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. And even if it doesn't measure up to all the rules, even if not all the words, even if not all the words are there, it could still be a kosher Megillah, at least by the Evet, for the purposes of the mitzvah on Purim. So as a member, so to speak, of the 24 elite Svarim of Tanakh, it's got to follow the rules of Kisvei HaKodesh. But the mitzvah Kriyas Megillah from a kosher Megillah employs Megillah as a Chefetz Shel mitzvah for Purim, even if it doesn't fit in, even if it's not 100% in consonance with the general dinim of Sifrei Tanakh. I want to make it follow suit with all the dinim of the Sifrei Torah. But for the mitzvah of Megillah, that's not necessary. So those are the two modes, or the two identities of the dinim of Megillah. Fascinating expression of this. If you look back to what we were just reading before, actually, the halacha immediately before the one we read, we saw Perek Beis Halacha Ches. Look at Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. I'm sorry. We saw Tess. Look at Halacha Ches. Ein korin b'tzibur b'megillah haksuva bein haksuvim. Vimkara lo yatsa. If you, instead of taking out your Megillah the way we have it, a single scroll, right, only on one side, you fold it, only Megillah Sester. That's what you normally use in shul. What if you didn't have a Megillah Sester, so you took out a full Tanakh? You had a full scroll of Ksuvim. And you read the Megillah from that full scroll of Ksuvim, and you read that in shul, you're not Yotze. What do you mean? It's the same text. Nein. Megillah is different. Ela imkein, ha'yisa yisera ashar yirios ochasera, k'dei she'ela hekar. The Ram says, based on the Gemara New Test, that's true unless, in your long scroll of the Ksuvim, if the Megillah's Esther was a little bit larger or a little bit smaller than the rest of the scroll and stuck out. And it was clearly identifiable as a different sefer within that scroll. Then, Zakta Rambam, then Zakta Gemara, it's kosher. So what's up, Pshat? What do you see? You see that there's a bzunder din of a Chefetz Shel Megillah that has to be nikeres. In order to be yotzei the mitzvah, it has to stand out. It has to be clearly identifiable as a separate mode of sefer, apart from all the other ksuvim. So Elamai, the din of Megillah is not just to read from any one of the Sifrei Tanakh, mitoch haksav, but rather there's a separate halacha, a din b'fnei atma v'chefetz shel Megillah. So explain to Rabbi Gnak to answer the other question: why is it that it says Megillah nikreis? Question on the Tiri Evan. The Tiri Evan gives one answer. Perhaps the answer is that the Tana is trying to emphasize that you need Kriya Mitoch, a Ksav that's identifiable as a Chefetz Shel Megillah per se. Megillah Nikres, the Chefetz of Megillah, the recognizable independent identified as a Chefetz Shel Megillah, that's where the Kriya comes from. Not simply to do a Kriya from Ksuvim, from any other cloth that has the text in it, but Dafka, a Kriya from a Megillah. That's Megillah Nikris. That, Lechora, answers our first question as well. I'm sorry, it was the third question. The question that emerges from the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak. Mishnah, the second parak says, if you Kori Alpeh, you're not Yotzei. What's the drasha gzeir shavu yud chesam and aleph from ksov zosikorn b'sefer? Yireim asks the question: why do you need a drasha to pasul a leaning from a bal kori who's reading by heart? It's self evident from the din of dvarim shabachsav yata rasha elom bal peh. You're not allowed to read the Megillah by heart because it's one of the ksuvim. Answers Rabbi Gnak, beautiful. The kriya of Megillas Esther is an independent kriya that's not b'toras kisvei hakodesh, that's not b'toras reading one of the chavdal svarim of Tanakh. It might be when it comes to reading the Megillah of Shir Shirim. I don't know. We can investigate that. There, it could be it's a din of reading from the chavdal sifrei Tanakh, but Megillas Esther is not. Megillas Esther is not. Maybe we should think about it. Maybe that's the reason why, according to our practice, not like the Megillas Sofrim. I'm sorry, Masechta Sofrim, we don't make a bracha when we read from the other Megillahs. We only make a bracha I'll on the Megillah when we read Megillas Esther, not when we read Koheles Shirim, and for that matter, Rus Reicha. We don't make a bracha on the other Megillas. Maybe because that kriya is a kriya of Kisvei Kodesh, and there's no special kriya when you read Yeshaya. You need a special takana of Haftorah in order to warrant a bracha. So too over here, there was an extra takana of kriya mitzad the chefza of the Megillah in its own right, and that's why you make a bracha on it. But it's not betoras shar Megillah shar Kisvei Hakodesh. That's why it has separate dinim, like the Biskrav explained. And even though it would not be subject to the halacha, perhaps, of Dvarim Shebuksav Yata Rasha Elom Baal Peh, because I'm not reading it Petoras Kisvei HaKodesh, so I'm allowed to read it Baal Peh, Kamashman Ksozo Zikaron B'Sefer, the Chefta Shemagillah, Betor Mikra Megillah of Purim, needs to be Mitoch HaKsav. Needs to be Mitoch HaKsav. And finally, perhaps, this also can come and bring us full circle to the question we started with. We saw in that first Rambam that we have a Kal Vachomer. We interrupt Talmud Torah to read the Megillah, and certainly Kal Vachomer, we interrupt other mitzvos in order to read the Megillah. And the question is, what do you mean Kal Vachomer from Talmud Torah? Kal Vachomer from Talmud Torah means to suggest that I'm interrupting one mitzvah of Talmud Torah in order to perform a totally different mitzvah of shaking a lulav, blowing shofar, or in our case, reading the Megillah. But when you read the Megillah, you're actually performing a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So shouldn't that be an equation, not a Kal Vachomer? So the Brisker Rav is famous for suggesting that even though Megillas Esther, in theory, if I would just sit down and open up right now, read the Megillah, I could say Hinei Mukhlam Zumin L'Kayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah. If I hadn't recited Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, I could recite Brichas HaTorah right now and say Megillas Esther, read Megillas Esther, and it would be entirely valid as an application for and relevant to that Brichas HaTorah. It wouldn't be Brichas HaTorah. However, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah was instituted by Chazal in such a fashion that it does not in fact have a tzura of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It wasn't meant to be a mitzvah of Talmud Torah at a specific time and a specific chelik of Torah. Rather, it was instituted on the categorization, without the categorization of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah whatsoever. Rather, an independent kriya of the Megillah. And he had a few riots to that. One riot to that is the fact that it says that we don't really even understand every single word in the Megillah. There's some words in the Megillah, Persian words, that we aren't fully aware of their translation. Nevertheless, we are yotzei the mitzvah because be'etzem it's a mitzvah of Pesumei Nisa. The tzura of Kriyas Megillah is Pesumei Nisa, not Talmud Torah. The fact that we don't have a Havana in every word, which L'chora would defy a tachlis of Talmud Torah, demonstrates, according to the Brisker Rav, that the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah altogether, which dovetails beautifully with what we're saying from Rabbi Ganak, that notwithstanding the fact that yes, Kriyas Megillah can, Megillah's Esther can find its identity as one of the Chavdal Svarim Tanakh, but the Megillah we use, the Megillah we read, and the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah on the morning of Purim, the night of Purim, is not Petoras Talmud Torah altogether. And the fact that it wasn't instituted in that fashion leads us to the conclusion that the body of text that we use for that mitzvah is not a chiluk of Kisvei Kodesh Bechlal, and that's why there's different dinim, not like the Sefer Torah. So that was one right. I don't even have the Havana. The Gemara says, instead of that Havana, replacing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's mitzvah Pesumei Nisa. Mitzvah Pesumei Nisa, or along similar lines, the Gemara says, why is it that we don't say Halal on Purim? One of the reasons is because Kriyasa Zu Hilelia. Reading the Megillah constitutes a mitzvah of Halal. And that is what the Chefza of the Megillah provides for us, the text from which we read our Halal on Purim morning, but it's Betoras Hallel, not Betoras Tanakh and Talmud Torah, even though that would have been a valid way of performing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as well on Purim. Okay? So we have a new understanding of what the nature of the Megillah is, specifically in the context of Mikra Megillah at when it comes time for Purim, even if it may be true that our knowledge of Megillas Esther and our association with Megillas Esther is part of Tanakh, but it has a whole different meaning as a Chatzis Shel Mitzvah, the Kriya of the Megillah, when it comes to the morning of Purim. As a result, there are different dinim. As a result, there is that Megillah Nikrais perhaps, and it follows suits with the Brisker of Yisod that the halachos of the Megillah don't always line up exactly with the halachos of Sefer Torah when we're talking about a Megillah that's used for the mitzvah of Megillah. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.